Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for our message this morning is our gospel reading from John chapter 2. In verses 3 through 5, we hear this. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." This is our text. Ron Popeil, is a famous American inventor from the 1950s to the 1980s, who became a familiar face in the early days of late-night infomercials on TV. He and his company, Ronco, produced things like the Pocket Fisherman, Mr. Microphone, the Chop-O-Matic hand food processor, the Veg-O-Matic, the beef jerky machine, and his electric pasta maker. Anybody own any of those? Oh, I see one tiny hand up, but not really very high up. Okay. But one of his best inventions was his rotisserie oven, which came with his famous infomercial slogan, "Set it and forget it." You put the food in, you set the oven. You put the food in, you set the oven, you walk away. No muss, no fuss, just set it and forget it. Now, the popular Christian cartoons, a favorite of many of you in this room, I know, VeggieTales, even had a fun episode that spoofed Ronco's products, where the talking vegetable was trying to sell a marvelous product called the Forgive-O-Matic. The new Ronco Forgive-O-Matic slices, dices, and purees your sins away, says the advertisement. All you have to do is dial up your sin, push this button, and bingo, God forgives you of your sins. All for one low price of $19.99. So don't delay, order today. Then when a young boy of a vegetable challenges the claim, the advertiser says, "Oh, you can't be forgiven without a Forgive-O-Matic." Now, in our gospel reading today, it kind of sounds like Mary is promoting her son Jesus as a sort of Forgive-O-Matic spiritual utensil, doesn't it? The major difference, though, is that Jesus is not some money-making, low-budget invention. He is the real deal. But at this point of our text, nobody knows who he is or what he has come to earth to do for the lost and sinful souls of this world. And so Mary comes to Jesus at a wedding celebration with a social conundrum, and she asks for help. Although his reply sounds rather harsh, Mary is not dismayed. Mary has full confidence in Jesus. She knows that he alone is able to take care of the situation, not because she asks him, but because he is truly gracious. In fact, Mary knew that the situation was saved as soon as she committed it to Jesus. She knew, my dear Christians, that when you and I commit all of our troubles to Jesus, he will take care of them without fail. So in a very real sense, therefore, we can spiritually commit it and forget it. Now the situation before Jesus was pretty simple. He was at a wedding, and they ran out of wine. Because this was only the third day in a traditional 7-day celebration, This would have been a very embarrassing, even humiliating situation for the families of the happy couple. Leon Morris, in his commentary on this text, points out that the stigma from the situation in that first century culture would be long-lasting and could even result in a lawsuit. And so the problem had to be dealt with. Apparently, Mary knew the family. She came to Jesus with the problem, and she simply told him they have no wine. But now, what did Mary expect Jesus to do? Did she want him to send his disciples out to buy more wine? Was she telling him because she just felt bad for the couple? Was she trying to exercise her parental authority and control over Jesus? John tells us in verse 11 that this was Jesus' first sign. Now, it's not like Jesus was known at this point as someone who did miracles growing up. Luke chapter 2 tells us that Jesus grew up like pretty much any other child and was obedient to his parents. That actually was common back then, that children would be obedient to their parents. And when Jesus went to Nazareth in Mark chapter 6, the people were astonished that he had received the power to do miracles, because he just wasn't known for this at that point. So, why did Mary tell Jesus about this couple being out of wine? Whatever the case, I wouldn't be surprised if Mary wasn't at least a little bit disappointed at Jesus' response. "Woman," he said, "what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Now, those mothers that are out here, how many of you would love to have your child say or address you as "woman"? But you see, calling his mother "woman" sounds a lot harsher to our culture's ears than it would have to Mary. But still, it's not really a term of endearment, is it? If anything, it's maybe a bit impersonal, maybe formal. The rest of his answer shows that Jesus had a different purpose in mind than Mary. It's clear Jesus wanted Mary to know that their relationship was now changing from mother and son to that of Lord and disciple. Which brings us to one of the greatest non sequiturs in the Bible. That's a fun little Latin term. A non sequitur is a statement, conclusion, or reply that has nothing to do with the previous statement. In other words, it doesn't fit with the rest of the conversation, like two puzzle pieces that don't go together. An example would be if I were to say to you, "It's raining outside so elephants can fly." Mary comes to Jesus with the news that the family is out of wine. Jesus tells her that his hour has not yet come, making it clear that this isn't his issue. So you would expect Mary to walk away, maybe a bit disappointed, but then trying to figure out another way to fix the problem. But she doesn't. Instead, she tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Think of that. There's nothing in Jesus' response that would make her think he was going to tell the servants to do anything. Her directions to the servants make no sense after what Jesus just said. It seems like a huge non sequitur. And yet there's one thing that ties all of the pieces of this interaction together so that it does all make sense. Despite his response, Mary had incredible faith in her son as the Son of God. Going to the servants, she tells them to do whatever Jesus says. In spite of his response, Mary knew that Jesus would actually answer her request. She may not have known the how or the when of his answer, but she knew that once she committed the situation to Jesus, it was out of her control. He would take care of it without a doubt. And Mary's faith rang true. Jesus not only took care of the situation, he did so with gusto, filling 6 jars with 180 gallons of water. Jesus miraculously changed it all into wine. And this was no cheap boxed wine from Safeway, by the way. This was the very best of wines. This was a wedding gift of extreme value. So much so that if there happened to be any wine left after the wedding, the couple could sell it for a nice financial cushion to start off their marriage. My dear friends, have you ever felt like Mary? You cry out to God, but it seems like he just is answering in a manner that doesn't make sense, or not answering at all, not even listening or helping? And have you ever felt like your prayers are going no further than the ceiling in the room that you're praying? Well, take heart. You are not the first to feel that way. In Psalm 6, King David says that he is in great anguish, that he's flooding his bed with tears. He cries out, "But you, O Lord, how long?" And Jesus' disciples were scared to death in a storm at sea while Jesus was in the boat sleeping. They cried out, "Lord, don't you care if we drown?" St. Paul, he prayed to the Lord 3 times to take away his thorn in the flesh. Yet the Lord refused. We all have times when we cry to the Lord for relief, but it just seems as if God doesn't answer. Times when we feel like Mary. We've made a request to God, but we've been rebuffed. You've had so many treatments, so many doctor's appointments, included with countless prayers, asking God to help you with your condition, your pain, your suffering. You've tried more times than you can count to find an answer to your family conflict, to work hard and get ahead of your debt, to be a good Christian witness to your friend, neighbor, coworker, or family member. But it seems like God is just closing his eyes and plugging his ears to your dilemma. The reality is, my friends, that God does hear your prayers, and he does answer every single one. And like Mary, you and I can commit our problems to Jesus, knowing that he will take care of them. David knew that. In Psalm 6, right after he complains about his terrible weeping, David says this: "The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer." It didn't look as if God was answering his prayer, but David knew in faith that he would. You see, it might not be in the way that we hope or expect, but God will do it. Do you think Mary actually expected Jesus to create water from wine? I think Jesus' response probably took her by surprise. When the disciples cried out to Jesus for help, did they expect him to just quiet the sea? I don't think so. Because they were astonished, it says, at what he did. And I'm pretty sure that Paul didn't expect the answer he received when God told him, quote, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And yet that answer allowed Paul to grow in his faith to the point where he could then say, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly at my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I am content with weaknesses." How many of you are ready to say that? But that's our Christian faith. Paul said, "I am content with weaknesses, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Yes, you and I can also commit our situations to Jesus, knowing that He will, that He does answer them. And how do we know? Because of His hour that has now come. That is, Jesus' hour of suffering and death. He told Mary that the wedding of Cana in our text was not His hour. But in John chapter 12, verse 23, when the Greeks came to meet Jesus, he said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." That was the beginning of his passion leading to his cross, which is Jesus' promise, his guarantee that he will hear and answer all of our prayers. It's there at the cross that Jesus bore our sins, the punishment we deserved. And it's there that He died in our place. And in His resurrection victory 3 days later, He made you and me His own. And we deserved none of it. Yet He did it all because of a love that defies all human understanding. So, given all that Christ has done for you and me, does it make any sense that He would now just ignore our pleas and problems? Not at all. As Paul tells us in Romans 8, verse 32, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things?" Jesus is the promise and the guarantee that God does hear our every prayer. And His death and His resurrection means that we can commit our cares to Him in full confidence that He will take care of them as He knows best, when He knows best, for whatever is best for you and me. Just like Mary, King David, and Paul, my dear friends, because Jesus has saved you and wrapped you in His baptismal grace, you too can know with certainty that He is well aware of and actively working in your medical struggle, your conflicts that you have with others, your financial difficulties, and your efforts to share the good news of Jesus with those around you. One of Mary Beth's, and I'll say my also, but one of Mary Beth's favorite cooking appliances is her Crock-Pot Express. She puts in all of the ingredients for a good soup or a stew, then turns it on and walks away. And then, when the allotted time is over, the meal is ready to go. She sets it and forgets it. Jesus calls you and me to do the same with Him. We all have many cares and worries in this life, most of which are beyond our control. Mary was worried about the wedding family, but she knew that there was nothing she could do. And so she committed the situation to Jesus, and she left it all up to Him. But let's make sure we understand. Jesus is so much more for you and me than some forgive-o-matic appliance that we can just buy for $19.99 online or TV or at a store. He is our Creator. He is the one who gave us life, who provides for all that we need in this earthly life. He is our Savior, the one who loves us unconditionally, sacrificially, and eternally, covering us with His blood and cleansing us of all sin and granting us eternal life. You are His, and He is yours. So just as Peter directs us, humble yourselves, therefore, he says, under the mighty hand of God, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Yes, Jesus, He's got it all well in hand. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.